What a great privilege is this for us that we could come to his presence and to meditate from his word. And as we know that we've been, in the past few weeks, we've been talking about subtle sins. And today I'll be talking about anxiety, worry, and frustration. So I just want to give a recap of what's happening, and then the first week when our brother Babu Kunjun Uncle took, he talked about what is sin. So just keep this verse in your mind as I go through today's topic about anxiety, worry, and frustration. In 1 John 3:4 says, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. All sin that seems so minor in our eyes is lawlessness." Let me use this because it's not very clear from our screen. So, all sin that seems so minor in our eyes is lawlessness. It is not just breaking of a single command. It is complete disregard of the law of God, a deliberate rejection of his moral will in favor of fulfilling one's own desire. James 2:10 says, "Whoever keeps the whole law but fails to keep in one point has become guilty of God." And the second week, next slide. The second week, Charles talked about what are respectable sins or subtle sins. That is our main topic. And then, so he talked about sins we seem to accept that are often blind to in our own lives. These are sins we often tolerate in our lives, are serious in God's eyes. Our impatience, gossip, anger, even anxiety are serious in God's eyes. Then he did talk about what is malignancy of sin. Sin is spiritual and moral malignancy. Left unchecked, it can spread throughout our entire being and contaminate every area of our lives. Also, it can spread from us to other believers around us. All sin, no matter how subtle it may seem to us, is malignant and wage war against our souls. Some sins we commit without really thinking of them either that time or afterward. So then after that, the second week, Charles talked about what or who's the remedy of our sin. Jesus Christ is our only and absolute remedy of our sins. Christ has already paid the penalty of our sins and then sent to us the Holy Spirit to live within us and help us to deal with sins. And last week, Sybil talked about what is ungodliness. Living one's everyday life with little or no thought of God or of God's will or of God's glory. Then Paul writes to Corinthian believers, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So today we'll be talking about, you know, under the subtle sins, I'll be talking about anxiety, worry, and frustration. So as this topic, you know, as Uncle asked me to take this topic, and I don't know whether it's a coincidence or not, you know, I'm an anxious person, right? You know, I was very, I don't know, I'm very anxious about my future, anxious about my kids, you know, especially during this last year, right? It was a very difficult situation for us, right? Whether it is in our job, you know, or whatever it is, we all were anxious. And I can clearly say that I was anxious in my life as well. And then, and as I got the subject and was just meditating, I could learn. And I never knew that, you know, anxiousness was a sin. And as I was meditating and then just pondering about this, and it kind of convicted my own heart. Right, so let's move on to the next slide. So what is anxiety? What is anxiety? So anxiety, worry, or frustration. So I want to give the definition about it before we go further. It's anxiety is an uneasy feeling of uncertainty, agitation, dread, or fear. The most common words in scripture is translated as anxious or anxiety. Worry means to divide, tear apart, to pull in opposite directions. Frustration is being upset or even angry at whatever is blocking our plans. So what does the Bible talks about anxiety? And if you read Proverbs 12:25, the wisest man on the earth, Solomon, says, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. Solomon, King Solomon, says that this is this word. It says, anxiety in the heart of a man causes this depression, but a good word makes it glad. Psalms 94:19 says, in the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comfort delights my soul. So as we go further, and today's passage, what I just want to go through is from Matthew chapter 6. Let's see what Jesus has to say about this anxiety. And if you turn your attention, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, I just want to read Matthew chapter 6. Reading from 24. Just listen to these words. And Jesus is teaching his disciples. And then I just want to read from Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God or a mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put so. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil or spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we wear, or what shall we drink, or what, or what shall we wear? After all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Look at verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So this is what Jesus is teaching his disciples. So we could see that Jesus uses different expression, in some, in Matthew, he says, do not worry. In other, in Luke, you can see he says, do not be anxious of anything, or do not be afraid. So these are the types of words that Jesus uses when he addresses about anxiety, worry, or frustration. So here, what I just want to see is God, Jesus clearly emphasized to his disciples, saying that, do not worry. Almost six times you can see he says that, do not worry, do not worry. So he is emphasized to the disciples is, do not worry about what you eat, what you wear. Do not worry about the unknown circumstances. But your Father knows about everything, what you are going through, what are your circumstances in your life. So the point what I want to make clear here is that Jesus says that do not worry about nothing. And as we move, can you go to the next slide? So why is anxiety is a sin? Why is it? Because it says that clearly God say, it says that it's a moral command of God is to not to be anxious. It's a moral command because Jesus clearly says it's a command, it's a moral command of God. Jesus clearly says that do not be anxious of anything. So when Jesus says do not be anxious or do not be afraid, it has a force of a moral command. In other words, it is the moral will of God that we do not be anxious of anything, or to say more explicitly, anxiety is a sin. So the first thing is it's a moral command of God. So anything you do against the will of God, or anything you do against the command of the God, it is a sin. So and the next point is it's anxious is to be anxious is to distrust God. Yeah. The first why anxiety is a sin is because it's a moral command of God is to not be anxious. The second point I want is to be anxious is a distress to God. So So it says that fret and worry indicates lack of trust in God's wisdom and sovereignty. So what do you mean by that? To be anxious is a distress of God. When God clearly says that, do not worry about anything. And that means you are not obeying God. That means you are distrusting God. And I'm sorry, just give it once. And the third point, what Jesus says is anxiety is a failure to accept God's providence in our life. So if you read Matthew chapter chapter 10, verse 29 to 31, Matthew chapter 29, verse 31. It says, are not two sparrows sold of a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? but the very hairs of your head but not one of them falls to the ground apart from your father's will, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So it says that God orchestrates all our circumstances in this universe for his glory, for the good of his people. So nothing happens in our life without the knowledge of God. And next slide. And the next slide is worry or anxiety is a failure to understand God's priority. And if you see clearly, you see in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Righteousness should be our priority as well. So God clearly says that, what is your priority in this world? The priority is to seek first God's kingdom. That should be our priority in our life. He clearly says to his disciple, do not worry about what you eat, what you drink, what you clothe, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. That should be our priority of our life, to seek his kingdom. So once you seek his kingdom and all these things and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So worry is failure to understand God's priority. And the next point what I want to make is, worry is failure to understand or know God. So what do you mean by that? That means you do not understand his sovereign love. You do not understand his sovereign care. And it's a failure to understand sovereign resources. So worry is a failure to understand or know God. If you know really who God is, right? He's the creator God, one who created this heaven and the earth. If you know who he is, then, right, we wouldn't worry about our life or we wouldn't be anxious about nothing. There are a lot of reference. I'm just going to skip because we have a few more minutes. So, next slide, brother. Okay, anxiety, worry, and frustration are sins before a holy God. They are not to be taken lightly or brushed off as common reactions. We may not achieve complete freedom from anxiety or frustration in this life. However, we should follow what God has prescribed in his word to rid our lives from these sins. So I just want to just go back and just remind, you know, just keep this point in your mind, right? It says, it's a moral command of God is not to be anxious. That's the first point. To be anxious is a distress to God. Anxiety is a failure to accept God's providence in our life. Anxiety or worry is a failure to understand God's priority. Worry is failure to understand or know God. So when we look at this, this is what God says. Do not worry, because he's in control of everything. But what is the cure of it? For the next slide. So the antidote for anxiety and frustration. What is the cure for anxiety and frustration? The first point, you know, it says, trust God in all circumstances. Trust God in all circumstances. So 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. cast all your anxieties. That is the first cure of anxiety and frustration. Just put all your anxieties and cares upon the Lord, because he says he cares for you. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend upon your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Again, this is from the wisest man on the earth, King Solomon, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend upon your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Psalms 118, verse 8 and 9 says, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust people. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. And the second cure of anxiety and frustration is rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say rejoice. So just look at what when Paul was writing this letter to the believers of Philippians, he says rejoice. Look at his circumstances. He was in a prison, and you can see in 2 Corinthians he was beaten. You know, he was thrown into the prison. You know, so he went through a lot of struggles, and he's writing this letter from the prison, and then he encourages the Philippians believers to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always. Amid anxiety and difficulties, we are asked to rejoice. The next cure for anxiety and frustration is meditate on the Lord and his word. What do you mean by that? Ponder upon God's goodness. Just meditate upon God's goodness. It says in Philippians chapter 4, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So Paul is saying, meditate on the Lord and his word. And the next he says, pray for everything. Next cure is pray for everything. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests known to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, rejoice always, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. For this is the will of God. And in everything, let your prayer known to God. And the next cure is pray with thanksgiving. Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests known to God. Paul says, pray with thanksgiving. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17 again, rejoice always in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And the last point is it says pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:7, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So I just want to say that what is the cure of our anxiety? In Philippians, we found that trust God in all circumstances, whatever it is. God clearly says, Peter admonishes, Paul saying that trust God in all circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord always. Meditate on the Lord and his word. Pray for everything. Pray with thanksgiving. And last says, pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. Pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. That is the will of God. Never stop praying. When you are worried, when you are anxious, it's very clear in the word. It says, pray without ceasing. And when you do all these things, last slide. When you do all these things, you will experience God's peace. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the peace of God. The peace what we see in this world, it's not that peace what Paul is talking about. It's peace from God. When you experience that God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There are a lot of points to be told. I had some few examples, but I'm not going over there. I had a story of very familiar story of Mary and Martha, right? And just want to take one more minute. I thought that story is very appropriate. You know, in Luke 10, 38, verse 42, it's a story of Mary and Martha. I just want to read that. Now, it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Look at Jesus. What is Jesus saying to Martha? But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Martha was anxious and distracted in her life. But Jesus says, you know, one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. So what is that one thing Jesus wants from us? Psalms 27:4 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That is what Jesus requires from us. I know the time we are living is a very difficult situation. I said, I am anxious about many things, but the word of God says, it's a command of God, is to be, do not be anxious of nothing. And his peace will guard us. May his name be glorified.